Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a young boy, learning to ride my first bicycle, my dad used to hold on to it for me so I wouldn't tip over. First, he would hold the front handlebar and the back. I had like a banana seat, and he would hold like right behind there and kind of run along beside me while I was going. And then as I got to go a little bit better, you know, then he would just hold on to the back. Well, I remember one day I said, "Dad, you're not going to let go, are you? You're going to hold on, right?" And he said, "Yeah." Well, either I pedaled too fast or he couldn't keep up with me, or he decided it was time for him to let go and let me steer for myself. Anyway, I soon found myself riding by myself on that bicycle. And I could keep myself level as long as I went straight. And I rode that bicycle full speed straight into our neighbor's blue spruce tree. And I have to say, as trees go, blue spruce trees are about the softest ones you can probably find. But nevertheless, the day ended with my mom applying Bactine and Band-Aids. My mom went through a lot of Bactine and Band-Aids. And like a little kid on a bike, God's people can find themselves what they think going straight, but losing their way too. And sometimes like children who rebel against their parents and decide to get on their bike and pedal away. You ever do that? Run away from home. I did that once. I got two blocks. Soon you find yourself hungry and thirsty, and the little town I grew up in, you know, two blocks at the end of the town, it's like, well, where do I go now? It's immature. And such immature attempts to try to get to adult independence, they only reinforce our real status as children needing direction and help, maybe Bactine and Band-Aids, or even infants needing milk, the way Isaiah puts it. In Isaiah's time, God's people had lost their way. Even worse, many of them thought they couldn't do better. They thought, hey, I'm riding on my bicycle all alone. I don't need any help. They even offered God lots of gifts of sacrifice. In fact, they offered so many gifts of sacrifice that they were like a competition to show off who could offer the most to the Lord. But their hearts were not humble. Even the kings at the time thought they were above the ways of the true King, Almighty God. During Isaiah's time, there was one good king, Hezekiah, who did some good things. He brought in some reforms, tried to lead the people back, but it didn't last. His son, as soon as he got on the bike, turned everything that his father had done into more vanity, more idolatry. So God had to bring his justice. Sin must be dealt with and punished. And Isaiah warned the people. Here your reading for today is chapter 66. You got 65 chapters of warnings. It's not all warnings. He also talks about the suffering servant who is to come. It's like the gospel of Isaiah, forecasting the coming of the Christ. But God had to bring his justice. So there's going to be destruction. And the Assyrians were going to come and surround the people of Israel and the town of the city of Jerusalem. And eventually the Babylonians were going to overrun it. God's people were going to be humbled and humiliated by them, really humbled and humiliated by their own sin. Sometimes we too feel like we're living in darkness. And it seems like the world is offering us a light, a bright, flashy light. light that is often leading you towards falsehoods. And sometimes we fall for those falsehoods, those things that draw us away from God. Falsehoods that tell us that there's no such thing as sin. Of course, then you don't need a Savior. Falsehoods that tell us that we can define right and wrong however we choose. Falsehoods that tell us that we can defy God's created order of male and female. Falsehoods that tell us that our lives are just plain meaningless. That there's no such thing as truth. Falsehoods that tell us that nothing really matters. So why doesn't God do something about this mess? Where is the power of God? Where is hope and salvation? Is there any hope for the future? Well, God has a better plan for this world. And even among us, His people, yes, He must punish sin. Yes, we must know the consequences. But feeling some of the darkness helps us to appreciate the true light. For God has a future and a hope and a plan for us. To the people in Isaiah's day, the prophet proclaims it's going to come suddenly. While we're waiting for it to happen, but just not expecting it to happen right now. Same way Jesus is going to come again. So in this very last chapter of Isaiah, chapter 66, he describes the birth of a son in extraordinary terms. He says this son is going to be born as if there's no labor pains. It's like before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? And Isaiah's listeners would have thought, oh, this is the princely, this is going to be a prophecy of the princely king, the descendant of David, the long promised descendant of David. And it all played out, as we know, in the birth of Jesus. And this same story takes us through, yes, to the death of Jesus in Jerusalem. Because God, in His justice, must deal with sin. Our sin. And the sins of the whole world. And this Jesus, David's Son and David's Lord, dealt with the sins of the world, the whole world, by going to the cross. And then God raised Him from the dead. After the death of our sins comes new life. New life in Christ. This is the new creation that Isaiah is talking about here in our Old Testament reading. We read something about it from Isaiah on Easter Sunday. The new creation that has already come in Christ. And Christ will come again. So here Isaiah reminds us to rejoice. He says, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her." Rejoice in that hope. Rejoice in the plan of God who made it all. Rejoice in our redemption in Christ. And rejoice that Christ has come. Christ has died, Christ has risen again, and Christ will come again. And if you don't feel like rejoicing, you might be asking, why should I rejoice when this world is such a mess? Why are we the people of God in God's kingdom? Why are we still waiting in hope and expectation? I feel like the people in Isaiah's time. we got a promise, and it's going to come. We're waiting for it. We're just kind of not expecting it today. It's because we still languish. We still want peace and security and safety in our lives. We want to see things go the right way. We want to see things go, you know, like you're on the bike without a big blue spruce tree in the way. That's the way we want things to be. Clear sailing. We want peace, but we see unrest around us. We want security, but what do we see in the airport? We see more metal detectors. I have them at schools. We want stability in our own relationships. But how often do we find discord, either of our own making or a loved one's? We want the waters and the bread of life, but still we get hungry and thirsty like a kid on running away from home. Not just physically, but even in our life in Christ and in our lives with other people. Well, children of God, Isaiah tells us that God will provide for us. He gives us this promise. He says, "You shall nurse. You shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees like a little baby." Like newborn babies, we receive from God His comfort just like mother's milk. And it's not just in the future when Christ comes again, but even now, even here today, as He feeds us with His Word and His gospel promise and with the forgiveness of sins that we receive in our mouths. Not just bread and wine, but the comfort of God's promise that we are forgiven. Like a crying babe that is fed and a restless child that's bounced on your knees or your mother's knee, that's the way God comforts us. If you have ever bounced a baby on your knee, if you've ever seen a mother bounce a baby on her knee, that's the way God comforts you. He says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." And then he says to you this, from the hymn that we just sang, he says, "Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river overflowing, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream." That's his promise. And guess what? You get to be a droplet of water in that river that is overflowing with God's grace to the nations. You're part of the plan too. So yes, we rejoice in the comfort of God won for us by Christ, by His death and resurrection. Our Heavenly Father cares for His children through Jesus Christ. And He provides for us even while we wait. We wait for a new creation to come fully upon Christ's return. Yes, in this life there will be struggles and discomfort all over in a fallen world that we live in. But we rejoice in a God who has overcome all that and who comforts us as a mother comforts her child. God's grace and peace is for all. That peace that flows like a river has come among us. And whether you're young or old, whether you have band-aids on your knees or not, we go forth together as children of God. like a river of Christ's peace out into the world. A world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.